In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, He made us and made all things visible and invisible. He upholds us in all things by the word of His power. Grace, mercy, and peace from Him who was, who is, and who is to come, the triumphant Savior King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is our sixth message on the book of Revelation. Let us remember again that the overall theme of the book is sharing King Jesus' sufferings and victories, based on the key text of Revelation 12, verse 11, which says, "And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death." Today's brief message is entitled, "It Was All in the Spirit." It focuses on the fact that what John saw, heard, and recorded was in the Spirit. Our text is the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. Let us give attention to the hearing of God's word. And let's remember, brothers and sisters, that it is the will of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we receive His word with believing hearts and be edified. God's word. "After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments, with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created.'" Let us pray. Almighty, holy, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, We thank you that you have not left us lost in the terrible and deadly consequences of our rebellion against your holy will. We thank you for your life-giving word. How wonderful the way it leads us to feed on Christ and build us up in him. We pray that he and he alone would be exalted, and that we may be built up by the power of your Holy Spirit as your word leads us to be edified by Christ's grace. Amen. Brothers and sisters, the book of Revelation has two parts. We have already dealt with the first part. It covered the first three chapters. The first chapter dealt with Christ as revealed to John in his glory, power, holiness, and majesty. Chapters 2 and 3 dealt with the states of the seven churches. These chapters dealt with what is. The second part of the book, from chapter 4 to chapter 22, deals with that which was yet to come. So, we learned of Christ in the midst of the candlesticks or lampstands, which are the churches. We also learned of the state of affairs of the seven churches. The rest of the book is about things that John needed to know as foundations and details of what was to follow. In the first part, it was important for John, as it is for us, to be reminded that our infallible, almighty, holy Savior is at the center of the church and has authority over the ministry of its spiritual leaders. In as long as they hear and obey him, they administer his word faithfully. They are in his right hand, and his word proceeds from his mouth as a sharp two-edged sword. The rest of the book has a sevenfold description of the church throughout history and throughout the world. Like the seven churches, the true church of Christ in history is diverse in her level of faithfulness. What is most important to keep in mind is the fact that in history, even though through sufferings and tribulations, the gospel of the kingdom makes advances at the expense of Satan's hold. The true church's gospel is on the offensive against the gates of hell protected by Satan. Christ's kingdom is on the advance towards ultimate victory, while Satan's kingdom continues to lose towards ultimate defeat. As the world ends in total destruction, there is the way for the new heaven and the new earth to be ushered in. That is when Christ comes to judge the living and the dead. It's the end of history and the beginning of eternity. It's the end of the last days, after which there will not be days, but eternity. So in chapters 4 to 22, we see the church in fellowship with Christ, in the power of his resurrection as well as in his sufferings. In world history, there is a battle, a conflict between two kingdoms. The kingdom of light, led by the light of the world, Jesus himself, and the kingdom of darkness, led by the prince of darkness, Satan. It's vital to understand that the continuing battle is not meant to be narrated to us in the book of Revelation as a progressing series of events. It's not about events taking place in history in a chronological pattern, one after the other. In our chapter 4, we are being prepared to recognize who is truly in control of world events. It is the one who has been granted all authority in heaven and earth. We will focus on the first part of the chapter and deal with the second part next week. The chapter begins with two words. After this, they do not describe what happens in history, but what John saw and heard after the first vision. It tells us of what John saw and heard after hearing and recording the letters to the seven churches. It does not speak of him seeing historical events in a certain sequence. Then we notice that it is Jesus who opened the door to heaven, and it was Jesus who asked John to ascend with him to heaven. It's also Jesus who promised John to show him the things that must take place. This by necessity required John to be in the spirit and not in the body, because what he was to see was all in the spiritual realm. This is absolutely vital for understanding the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is what John saw, heard, and recorded from a spiritual perspective. It was all in the spirit and not in the body. The book of Revelation was spiritually revealed, seen, and heard. It is of a spiritual nature, embodying spiritual meanings. God is spirit. The angels are spiritual beings. The 24 elders seated on 24 thrones, dressed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. This was all seen by John in a spiritual vision. The four living creatures were spiritually seen. John was taken there by Jesus in the spirit. The door was spiritual. After all, heaven is a spiritual realm. The keys Jesus possesses for death and Hades are also spiritual. The book of Revelation, received by John and recorded by John in a spiritual state. When Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, the interrelated events spoke of a spiritual scene. The death of Jesus opened heaven for those who belong to Jesus. They are given spiritual access to the spiritual throne of grace. They worship in the spirit and truth. Every part of the book of Revelation, John saw and heard in the spirit. He was with Christ in the spirit, and what he reports of his spiritual visions must be understood and taught spiritually. The core of the second part of the book of Revelation is that God's kingdom under Christ would conquer and take over Satan's kingdom. The kingdom of God in Revelation 4 fully applies to Jesus. He opens heaven in all the description of the one seated on the throne as pure. There are no physical shapes or parts. They are only images of his nature. Yet even while incarnate on earth, our Savior's physical features were never described in the New Testament. In both heaven and earth, the qualities of Jesus are his glory, majesty, holiness, wisdom, and power. These are what the precious stones of Revelation 4 stand for. That's why in verse 9, we are told that the living creatures give him glory, honor, and praise. The leaders of the seven churches could have easily recognized the similar descriptions given in the last verses of the first chapter of Ezekiel. The 24 elders represented the totality of Christ's body, the church. The Old Testament's redeemed from among the 12 tribes, and the New Testament believers hearing the gospel beginning with the 12 apostles. The 24 are around the throne. Christ, who took John to the scene, is the one seated on a throne, again, at the center of his church. guarding it, protecting it, encouraging it. Hallelujah. The grace of the Savior King, the Messiah of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the full blessing of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abide with God's people in all nations throughout the whole earth. Amen.